This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable unto thee, our Lord, our Rock, and our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. This morning's story is not unfamiliar to the vast majority of Christianity, a popular miracle story that we all certainly seem to adore and to love. Simply, Jesus walks on water, and Peter tried, but Peter fell into the drink. A popular story that indeed has influenced many other stories, like the story that I found about Mark Twain. Mark Twain had gone to visit the Sea of Galilee with his lovely wife, Olivia. And while they were there on this one particular evening, a lovely moonlit sky over the lake, he decided it would be wonderful to be able to row out onto the lake. So he and his wife walked to the Sea of Galilee, and suddenly they were able to find a young man with a boat. And Twain inquired whether or not they could use the boat, and how much would he charge? The young man looked at Twain and his wife, noticing Twain dressed in this beautiful white suit and a Stetson, and he thought for a moment. He said, "It's going to cost $25. Now, this story took place over 100 years ago. $25 was a lot of money back in 1900, and according to today's standards, $25 would equal today $600. $600 to go out on the boat on the lake in a moonlit evening? Well, we know Twain to be a very successful author. We know that he could afford it. In fact, his wife also was a woman of means. But he also was a very sensible man, and he didn't want to be taken for a ride, if you don't mind the old phrase. So he thanked the young man, extended his arm to his wife, and they turned around and walked back to the hotel. But as he turned, he was overheard to say one thing. "Now I know why Jesus walked." It was late in the day. Jesus had just fed 5,000 plus. With 5 loaves and 2 fish. He has now dismissed the people, and he has now also dismissed his disciples. getting them into the boat and telling them, please go to the other side and I will join you later. Finally, now he is able to take the time that he intended from the very beginning of the story to go off to a deserted place to pray. While he is off praying, the disciples have moved out onto the lake. And as so typical of the Sea of Galilee, storms will come out of nowhere. And suddenly, the wind picked up. I love the phrase that is used in our scripture today. It says, the wind was against them. I think that phrase is so indicative of how we often describe the reality of life around us. How often we feel that we are up against the wind. Now, it's not that we are not trying to do things and get through. It's not that we're lazy or uncommitted or just being whiny or feeling that our abilities are lacking. It's just the way it is. We seem to face the wind no matter where we are going and seem to get nowhere. The reality is, life is hard, is it not? And then the question is not if the storm comes. The question really is when the storms come. You see, none of us are immune to suffering, to tragedy, and to heartache. Rain will fall upon the just and the unjust alike. Bad things do happen to good people. And so the question is, what do you do when the storms come upon your life? Indeed, a rhetorical question, but I want us to think about that for just a moment. What do you do when the unexpected storms strike your life? What have you done in the past when storms have happened to you? As you reflect upon those questions, we begin to realize these are the same feelings that those disciples had on that evening on the Sea of Galilee as they traversed the storm. Quickly, the disciples realize they are going nowhere. The wind is against them. They've been rowing for a long time. In fact, now it is the fourth watch, which means it is anywhere between 3 and 6 a.m. And they find themselves suddenly in the midst of a horrific storm. And in this particular circumstance, in the midst of this horrific storm, they believe they are seeing a ghost. That's another thing about storms in our lives. We often imagine the worst when storms come. We often begin to see barriers and problems and hurdles that really are not there. But you see, our vision is clouded when we are in the midst of the darkness of the storm. And it actually is darker than it appears. The disciples saw a ghost, and they are afraid. It's a ghost, they cry out, as Scripture records it. But suddenly the voice of Jesus comes through that storm and says, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Now, for most of those disciples in that boat that day, those words were simply enough to give them comfort. But of course, there is Peter, always willing to push the envelope. There is Peter pushing the envelope again and saying, if it's you, Lord, then let me come out to you on the water. What was he thinking? But Jesus says, okay, Peter, come to me. And Peter actually does step out onto the water and does take a few steps. But then suddenly he becomes aware of the fact that there is a storm around him, that there are waves moving into the boat and a strong wind. And he takes his attention off of Jesus as he becomes more aware of the storm, and he begins to sink. Save me, Lord, he cries out. And Jesus steps forward to him and pulls him up out of the water. And as they move into the boat, the storm calms. And all the disciples sit back and say, "Truly, you are the Son of God." A wonderful story. A beautiful miracle story that we all love to hear. But do you know what the problem is in this story? It's the same problem that I often find in other parts of Scripture. Everything turns out okay. We see stories about a blind man who gets his sight, about an adulterous woman who is forgiven, a prodigal son who is welcomed home with a grand party, a doubting Thomas who gets proof, and Jesus who calms a storm. But the problem is, this is not how it happens in our lives. It doesn't happen that easily or that readily. In fact, as we reflect now, tens of thousands of men and women are serving in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we pray for each and every one of them daily. But we know that thousands already will not be coming home. And the war is still not over. What about them? We know that our loved ones get stricken by cancer, and we wonder why bad things happen to such good people, why their lives are changed, why they are not the same person because of their treatments or medications. We know that a young father and his two young sons lose a wife and a mother unexpectedly. And you and I wonder, if we could have been there, perhaps we could have done something to prevent such an unfortunate and untimely death. We know that good people still lose their jobs. We know that nice families get divided by divorce. We know that healthy children die too young. All of this makes no sense to me. I know of no explanation for human suffering and the storms of life, and I get nervous when people try to offer explanations. The storms of life that catch us by surprise can do their damage. That much I do know. But there is something else that I know. That same Jesus who walked on that lake out to those disciples in that little boat is the same Jesus that comes to you and me when we are faced with a storm in life. Religious writer Robert Capon says that most of us would like to think of Jesus as coming to the rescue with some kind of a heavenly tow truck, where he comes to us with hot chicken soup and tows us back to safety. In reality, what Capon is really saying is that Jesus does come to you and me in the midst of the storm. Jesus is there sitting with us and also suffering with us. He draws near to those who are hurting. This is the first thing we need to remember. He comes to us and suffers with us. And the second thing is that Jesus calls each of us to step out in faith. Even when faith seems unreasonable, even when we cannot see hope there on the horizon, Jesus invites you and me not to be afraid, but to trust in his presence and in his love. Peter, as impulsive as he was, demonstrated this kind of faith and was always able to follow Jesus and step out in faith. The third thing, sooner or later, the storm does end. You may be going through a difficult chapter in your life right now. The wind may be against you no matter which direction you are facing, and you are finding yourself weary and discouraged, alone and afraid. But I must tell you that the storm will not last forever. It will pass. The sun will shine again tomorrow. Don't give up. Whatever you do, never give up. And then finally this. Sailors know when a storm is coming, and the best thing for them to do is find a safe harbor. Find a place where they will be protected and where they will find strength. This is also true for you and for me as Christians. The people of God here at St. Joseph's Episcopal Church are as safe of a harbor as you will ever find. Here among these people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, you will find the rest and the healing that you need. You will find a loving, caring community. Here among our brothers and sisters, you can step out of the wind and come into a place for at least an hour and to be strengthened by the Word and by the sacrament of God's presence in Christ. There's a wonderful Christian hymn that ends with these words. Come, follow me, says the Lord. Be at peace within my care. Be as a child. Show me your need. Take my hand, and I will lead. May all of us who struggle and hurt today, take heart. Do not fear. Jesus is here. He is always with us and will help us through the storms of life. Thanks be to God for this gift. Amen.